Let's put feet on our prayer and on our action. And tonight, after the prayer meeting, we'll meet for corporate prayer. There's a movie coming out in the fall, I think it is. Is that right, Russell? In the fall. It's called The War Room. And it is about corporate prayer. Can you believe it? Churches all over Arkansas, all over the United States are meeting in corporate prayer. Pastors are meeting all over the United States in corporate prayer. There is a group of pastors in New York that have been meeting for a number of years, praying for revival and meeting in corporate prayer. There is power as we meet together and as we join our hearts and our prayers together. There is power in that, more power than when we are by ourselves. The Bible says that when a man walks in the field alone, if he falls, there's no one to pick him up. A threefold cord is not easily broken. And so as we meet together in the power of the war room, where the battle is actually taking place, and it is not easy. Prayer is not easy. But I, as timid as I am, and as fearful as I am, I want to be on the front line. I'm scared, but I still want to be on the front line. I am not the kind of man that's going to let my brothers step to the front line and me hide somewhere. I want to be that man that steps to the line and fights for the Lord. And you do too. You do too. You're not going to go hide. I think that we're coming to that time. I think it's exciting times. And to raise our family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so we're going to talk about that. One of the things that I want to talk about this morning is quality time. And actually spending real time with our family. And when you've already raised your kids, you can look back and see some of the mistakes that you made in raising your kids and in spending the time that you should have spent with them. And so now you're going to be, hopefully, that you will be helped by some of the mistakes that I made, that you won't make those same mistakes, that you will step up and be the father that God has called you to be the wife and mother that God has called you to be, and that we, you know, the Bible tells us that the older are the teacher younger, especially when it's talking about the women, that the older women are to teach the younger women. And actually, it says there, teach them how to love their husbands. Isn't that something? How much time do we spend doing that? And the Bible is just very specific when it tells us to do that. So I hope in the next few weeks that we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be challenging one another to walk in the Lord. Now, there's two passages that I want us to read this morning. So what I want you to do is take your Bibles, and before you stand, I want you to find Luke's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke. I want you to find Luke's Gospel, the 6th chapter. And I want you to put your finger in that. And then I want you to find the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And I want you to put your finger in that. And then I want us to stand together. Luke 6, verse 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if we love them which, for if ye love them which love you, what think have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Now turn over to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And you might think that we're starting in the middle of the thought, but we're going to do this anyway. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Are you hooking to the family yet? Are you hooking it up yet? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. What does that word mean? To build up. Don't allow anything to come out of your mouth unless it is for building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Are you hooking up? Are you hooking up? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Have you caught it? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, Lord, if this message is dependent upon me, it'll be a zero. God, I pray that you would anoint me and open my mind to speak your words. I pray that you'd fill me and anoint me with your Holy Spirit to speak that you would have spoken today. And Lord, if it's something that I shouldn't say, keep it out of my mouth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I think that you could take the title of the message in two different ways. Are you coming apart? Is your family coming apart? I mean, is everything falling apart? And your relationships falling apart? Instead of building, they just keep coming apart, and you're getting farther and farther away from your kids and farther away from your wife, and you seem to be focusing on yourself and those things that you're doing, and instead of focusing on their lives and what is taking place in their lives, and you're just getting farther and farther away from that relationship. Are you coming apart from the world and coming together as a family? When Vance Havner talked about coming apart, and when the Lord said to his disciples to come apart, and Vance Havner's preaching on that, and he says to us as Christians, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. So if you and I do not come apart as a family and come together as a family, spend time together as a family and as couples and renewing our relationship and building our relationship together, we'll come apart. Our relationship will be shattered. Many homes, rather than a safe haven, are battlegrounds and battlefields. And the children come into a big fight, a big quarrel, when it ought to be a place of safety. It ought to be a place to run to be invited to, someplace that they can bring their friends to, and they would see how real family ought to operate. One million of our teenagers are pregnant. 750,000 will get an abortion. Each year, 40% of teenagers have such deep emotional problems that they purposefully do things to harm themselves, cut themselves even. 1,500 will take their own life over the next year. Well, church, we need to wake up. We need to come alive to what God wants in our lives. And you think, well, this won't happen to my kids. This won't happen to my grandkids. And we'll just stick our head in the ground and pretend that there's nothing going on around us and that we're not living in a battle. And then we'll find ourselves right in the midst of the battle. Well, let's get back over to Luke, the sixth chapter. And I want to pull something out of this verse that I think that God wants us to see today. Luke 6. And verse 30 through verse 32. What is it that the people around you are asking of you? Your kids, your spouse, and sometimes even your co-workers? Well, I believe that the most precious commodity that you and I have is our time. Now we can buy our kids stuff and our grandkids stuff and just hand them money and do this and do that and here, go have a good time, go watch TV, go do this, go play some kind of video game. But the thing that our children are wanting from us and needing from us, the most precious commodity that you and I have to give, is time. Now look at what verse 30 says. Give to every man that asks of thee. Do you see that? Give to every man that asks of thee. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. This is where Christianity is played out in our everyday lives. This is where we are being Christian dads and Christian mothers and Christian grandparents. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. So we give unselfishly. And you may have convinced your kids that they want your money. That's not what they want. They want your time. And you may have convinced your grandkids that what they want is your money, but that's not what they want. They want your time. They want you to be with them. You just need to be there. You need to be there in the circumstances that they face. You and I need to be there when the conflict comes. You and I need to be there that when they're crying tears of sadness or when they're crying tears of joy, you and I need to be there to share that with them. The devil, it's real good to get us so involved in doing our own thing. And sometimes just making a living. We lose the meaning of family. You know, most of the time, it's not a lot. Most of the time, it's not a lot of time. It's just sometime. I've noticed with our youngest granddaughter, the time element with her is very quick. I mean, I would like to sit and hold her and love on her. And she'll come running to you with everything that she's got, with her arms reaching up. Boy, I just love it. And grab her up and hug her and kiss her. Now she wants down. See, it don't take much. It doesn't take a long time. And most of the time, with many kids, it's not that they want you to spend 2 or 3 hours with them talking about some issue, but just some time. And I'm not trying to cut you some slack here. If they want 2 or 3 hours, give it to them. But some time. And God has given all of us the same amount of time in the day. I've said this several times, but I can get my dandruff up over people acting like that they don't have as much time as other people do. I mean, can you imagine? There is not a person who is sitting here in the presence of my voice that could not be here tonight if you wanted to be. And probably if we taped $100 bills under the seat, you would be. I didn't expect to get an amen out of that, especially from the crowd that's not planning on coming. And what would I have accomplished if I'd have browbeat you into coming? Not anything at all. Not anything at all. What I want to do is just, let's just move the curtains back and for you to be able to see where you actually are and where you're spending your time, and that you don't have any less time than any of the rest of us. We all have the same amount. It is just what we decide to do with that. And so I want to urge you today that you get your priorities in order. I had a guy to come up to me, and I guess I say stuff all the time. You probably really get sick of hearing it about coming back on Sunday night. That's just kind of a pet peeve of mine. That's just kind of a gauge that I use. To see where people are at, Sunday school and Sunday night. I had a guy to come to me a few Sundays ago, and he said, if you'll give me the pulpit, the next time I'm here, he said, I guarantee you that I can get everybody back here on Sunday night. And I said, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. I don't want to browbeat people into coming back. I want the Holy Spirit of God to move on folks in such a way that they want to be back, that they want to be here for corporate prayer, that they want to be involved in what is going on in the church, in their church. You think, well, you just want everybody to come back. Really, that's not what I want. Really, what I want is for the Holy Spirit of God to deal with your heart, and you want to come back. That it's that kind of heart that God has given you. And I think that what I want to do today, what I've been saying, is I just want to open the curtains up for us to realize where we're at. Now, some of you can't. I realize that. I realize that some of you can. I'm going to give you an out here. You can't drive in the dark. I'm going to give you an out. If you never drive in the dark, if you never go anywhere in the dark, then I'm going to give you an out, and you'll have to come. Some of you are not being straight about that, because I've seen you in the dark before. There you go. I thought I would just keep pulling till I got an amen. They've been real few this morning. So let's move on. God's given all of us the same amount of time. And no one knows. I'm going to move on. I want to preach the rest of this. I may just preach the rest of it tonight. But I want to, let's turn to Psalms, the 90th chapter. Psalms 90. And preacher got on to his deacon about not ever saying amen. And he told him, he said, don't you know that when you say amen to a preacher, it's like saying sick'em to a dog? And he said, preacher, have you ever heard of anybody saying sick'em to a dog when he already had a hole in your leg? He said, they just don't do that. Psalms 90 and verse 12. A great verse. A wonderful verse. A verse that we need every day of our life. And this is what it says. So teach us. Teach us. What does God want to teach us? Something very, very important. You know, there's not anything in God's Word that He wants to teach us that's not important. And this is of great, great importance. When the Lord talks about teaching and us teaching others and the importance of that and preaching the whole counsel of God, preaching all of the Bible and what the doctrinal issues of the Bible are and what our young people ought to be learning. Teach us something. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. Psalms 90 and verse 12. Teach us to number our days. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So every day is important. I was listening to the Bible drillers as they talked about key doctrinal passages and what that doctrine was and what the passage was that went with it. And I thought, man, that is so, so important. Teach us to number our days. What if today I was spending the last day that I was going to spend with my wife? How would I want that to go? What if I was seeing you, Carol, for the very last time? How would I want our conversation to go? Would I want to tell you, mind your own business. You go ahead and do your thing and I'll do mine. How would we want that to go? Teach us to number our days. And when that child or that grandchild talks to you, how do you want that conversation to go? If you're going to number your days, teach us to number our days. Because one of these days, it's going to be the last one. It's going to be our last day. None of us know when that's going to be, and I'm glad we don't. But the Lord has said for us to number our days. In Ecclesiastes, this other verse that I was going to share, it talks about the young people doing what you can do while you're young. Because there's going to come a time that you can't do it anymore. So press on while you're young and you've got the energy to do it with, do it on. I was thinking about those young people that were learning those doctrinal issues through the Scripture, and I thought about, man, if I could take the last 10 years of Bible drills You talking about some preaching material on doctrine. It's full of it. If I could teach our young people the doctrine of Scripture, there's a couple things that really stands out to me. One is that I would teach them what the Bible says about keeping themselves pure for the one that they'll spend the rest of their life with. I think that's a great, for the day in which we're living, I think that's a big issue. And I'd start when they're very young, and I'd just be talking about that scripture all the way up. But if I could teach our young people that one thing, I would really zoom in on that. Another thing that I would teach our young people, and there's a whole bunch of them, but this is just a couple things that comes to my mind, and then I'm going to close here. I would teach them to be tithers. I teach them to be tithers. And parents, your children know whether or not you tithe. They know. And you are teaching them, if you're not a tither, you're teaching them not to tithe. And you say, now, brother, you're just saying that because you're trying to get money come into the church so you'll get paid. I'm going to get paid whether you tithe or not as long as the church is here. I'm just trying to teach you what the truth is. And what you're doing to your kids when you don't tithe is that you're cheating them out of a wonderful lesson of economics in their own life that's going to cause them to not have what they need. I believe that the Bible teaches, without apology, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And I think that when you give, when you tithe, if you don't know what that is, that's 10%. Of your income. And that's real easy figured. Come to me and I'll help you figure it if you need to. But it's real easy figured. You cannot outgive God. You can't outgive Him. No matter what you give, you can't outgive Him. He's going to give it back to you. And you'd say, well, I'll do that so I can make some money. No. That's not the principle of the doctrine. But it opens the door for God to bless your life. I was taught that at a very young age. And bless the Lord, Gwen and I have practiced that doctrine all of our married life. And her dad left a little old track on tithing where I could find it. And it was one of the most important teachings that he ever taught me was that track on tithing. And I was making $1.25 an hour. And I started tithing on $1.25 an hour. And God has blessed that. Now, you know, there's been times that tithe looked like, man, we could buy groceries with that. We could buy the kids something with that. But we never did. And God blessed that. He always sent it in from some other source. I've gone to the mailbox and got an electric bill for $125 and got a check for the same amount that you couldn't figure out to save your time. But God just took care of us. Didn't mean that we didn't ever have any hard times, or it wasn't ever hard to pay the electric bill, or it wasn't hard to make the car payment or anything like that. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. But you're closing the doors of heaven when you are so stingy that you keep back that tithe from the Lord and you spend it on yourself. I don't know where all that come from. I didn't even plan on saying that. Somebody needed to hear it. You old stingy guts. Somebody needed to hear it. Oh, I'm glad I've been here this long. You couldn't do it. Nathan, don't you ever try that, boy, when you first start. Let's stand together.